happen in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Welcome to the End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. Representative Ana Paulina Luna, the head of a new congressional task force aimed at exposing federal secrets, said last Tuesday that she believes two shooters were involved in the assassination of former President John F. Kennedy. The task force intends to build on the Trump administration efforts to declassify records related to the assassination of JFK, RFK, and civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., and will start with a thorough investigation of JFK's November 1963 shooting death in Dallas, Texas. Quote, based on what I've been seeing so far, the initial hearing that was actually held here in Congress was actually faulty in the single bullet theory, Luna said during a Capitol Hill press conference, referring to the Warren Commission. Quote, I believe there were two shooters, she added.
Task Force on the Declassification of Federal Secrets. This task force will be a part of the House Oversight Committee and led by the very talented and persistent Congresswoman from Florida, Ana Paulina Luna. During her time on the Oversight Committee, Representative Luna is a sledgehammer against government secrecy. She is committed to throwing open the windows for the American people to allow the sunlight of truth shine on the federal government. I can think of no better person in Congress to lead this task force than Representative Luna. Last month, President Trump signed an executive order to begin the process to declassify information on the assassinations of JFK, RFK, and MLK. This task force serves to build on President Trump's actions. For far too long, the American people have had reasonable questions of what their government, which they fund every day, keeps hidden about certain issues. And for far too long, the federal government has not answered these questions. This creates distrust in our institutions. That ends today. The voters of this nation delivered a historic mandate to President Trump on November 5th. The keystone of that mandate was demanding increased transparency of their government and elected leaders, and the mandate of this task force is to acquire that transparency. We will open this up for a question for the media, but first I'd like to hand it over to my esteemed colleague and chairman of the new task force, Congresswoman Luna, for her remarks.
Thank you, Chairman Comer. When our founding fathers stood against tyranny, they did not merely oppose taxes. They defended the sacred idea of individual sovereignty. They declared that no government, agency, or title could infringe upon the freedoms of speech, religion, thought, and the pursuit of truth. For too long, the American spirit has been dimmed by a veil of secrecy, by a government that has grown too comfortable in the shadows, denying us the transparency we deserve. But today, we stand at the dawn of a new era, where the light of truth begins to shine through. A few weeks ago, President Donald Trump made a historic announcement. With the stroke of a pen, he committed to declassifying the files concerning the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. A decision not just monumental, but pivotal. It is with profound honor that I have been entrusted by Speaker Mike Johnson and Chairman James Comer to lead the House Oversight Task Force on Declassification of Federal Secrets. Together with the help of the White House, our intelligence allies, the Department of Defense, the Department of Justice, we will be conducting investigations into the following. The assassinations of JFK, RFK, and Dr. Martin Luther King, unidentified aerial phenomena, also known as UAPs, unidentified submerged objects, also known as USOs, the Epstein client list, the origins of COVID-19, and the 9/11 files. This will no longer be a task force that makes bold promises only to fade into irrelevance or send strongly worded letters. This will be a relentless pursuit of truth and transparency, and we will not stop until the American people have the answers they deserve. We will cut through the bureaucracy, challenge the stonewalling, and ensure that the American people finally get the truth that they have been denied for too long. If we are to endure and thrive as a nation, we must restore trust. Trust through transparency. The American people must be trusted to think for themselves, to form their own judgments from the truth that they are entitled to know. We've been treated like children for too long and kept in the dark by those we elected to serve us. And I think, again, as I stated, for far too long, there's been a massive push to keep the American people in the dark in that instance today. Our first investigation will be announced, but it's going to be covering on a thorough investigation into the John F. Kennedy assassination. And I can tell you based on what I've been seeing so far, the initial hearing that was actually held here in Congress was actually faulty in the single bullet theory. I believe that there were two shooters, and we should be finding more information as we are able to gain access into the SCIF, hopefully before the files are actually released to the public. Yeah, so again, this is a bipartisan commission. Remember, JFK was a Democrat, RFK was a Democrat, and I'm sure that I think the entire conference has a question on what actually happened with Dr. Martin Luther King. This is not a conspiracy theory investigating committee. We're actually looking to present truth to the American people. And it's in my opinion that no one person elected to office is more important or more qualified to look at the information that they've been hiding from us. And so we look to push for that transparency.
What sort of witnesses will you expect to have at your hearings? I know you said the first ones in March. That be department heads, former employees of various agencies?
Would you like to jump in? Yeah, I was going to say, based on what we're actually looking to do with the JFK investigation, I'm looking to actually bring in some of the attending physicians at the initial assassination, and then also people that had been on the various commissions looking into, like the Warren Commission looking into the initial assassinations. There's been conflicting evidence, and I think that even the FBI at the time reported some anomalies in the initial autopsy at Bethesda, Maryland. All of those, though, seem to have been rinse and repeated in the media to push a certain narrative that we don't agree with. And so I think that in order to put to bed some of the theories that have been out there on John F. Kennedy, we have to know the full truth. And the full truth starts with transparency. And that's why these files is so important for the American people to read for themselves. But again, this committee is expanding not just there, but outwards into other fields. And again, we're working directly with the White House. In previous investigations, they didn't have access to the information that we are going to have access to. And so that's a big deal, especially if you're looking at what truly happened with JFK. Okay, two more and then we're going to wrap it up.
Obviously, some of the questions on some of these topics, whether it's Jeffrey Epstein or COVID-19, the questions are obvious. What specifically, though, are the questions you're looking to get answered with regards to September 11th?
We just want the truth. How much did the CIA know in advance? But also, remember, when you have only certain information that's shared with the American people, that's when conspiracy theories happen. And it's in my opinion that conspiracy theories can be detrimental. It doesn't mean that in the last couple of months we haven't been right on a few things, but what I will say is I think that we deserve to give this information to the American people. I don't agree with the stonewalling that's occurred. And also, how do we prevent things like it from happening in the future? And we have to know the full picture, and the American people deserve to know that as well.
So what will President Trump's January 23rd order on the JFK files actually accomplish? After listening to Representative Luna's press conference, I've grown more optimistic about the possibilities of full disclosure in the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. There are assassination-related records known to exist, which House investigators can make public very quickly. I was also encouraged by the FBI's discovery last week of 2,400 assassination-related records that had never been turned over to the Assassination Records Review Board or the National Archives. Could it be that the FBI is taking Trump's orders seriously?
This week, the FBI is saying that it discovered 2,400 new records related to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. This is happening as federal agencies are working to comply with President Trump's executive order last month to release thousands of files. Those files have not been released yet, but the FBI says it's working to transfer the newly found records to the National Archives in order for the administration to release them and include these new documents in the declassification process. You know, I'm going to have to talk about this with James Robinault. He's our friend and presidential historian. 2,400 records, James. How do that many documents get discovered? And does that mean that they were missing before?
Yeah, I mean, this was a big surprise because if you read my piece in Vanity Fair, my interview with Jefferson Morley, who I consider to be the real expert on all this stuff, he said, you know, the most looked for documents are CIA documents, and they're the ones that are the most redacted, and a lot of them have to do with Oswald in Mexico. So the fact that the FBI now comes out with 2,400 records is a huge surprise, and one that, you know, we're gonna have to figure out what happened here. But I gotta tell you, way back when this all happened and these records were created, and the Warren Commission investigated and so forth, I understand there was a need for intelligence agencies and the FBI to protect sources, methods, and so forth. We're 60 years later. And there was an order of Congress in 92 to start releasing this stuff in full. It was all supposed to be out by 2017. So the fact that somebody's finding 2,400 documents means that one of two things. It means that people didn't look very hard, or they knew about these documents, but they felt constrained to not be able to release them until they got a presidential order telling them to do so. So either way, it's a huge surprise, and it's going to be very interesting to see what's in this group.
Yeah, so what's your feel of the situation? What's your gut feeling since an extra 2,000 documents have been found right ahead of this release? Could that indicate that something more substantive might come of them?
Yes, I think you know, there's a likelihood there's something important in those documents. But it also tells me the other thing that we know. We know that there are 3,500 documents that have been collected under the law sitting at the National Archives that have been redacted, you know, people's names marked out, and some of them with full pages redacted, which is astonishing given all the time that's passed. But what we also know is that there are a lot of documents that have not been collected under the law. These are good examples. And it means that there has to be a true effort by these agencies to really find the documents that are in their possession and to go back and to really release this stuff. Now that they've been ordered to do so under this executive order, it is time for this stuff to come forward. And we're going to see, I think, additional documents that we didn't expect to see and that we didn't know about, because, you don't know what you don't know about. And this is a good example of that. But I think it's not tip of the iceberg, but I think we're going to see a lot of this where people are going to come up with new documents that nobody knew these documents existed.
Let's talk about some of the folks in Congress that are leading the charge to getting these things released. Florida Representative Ana Paulina Luna is the head of a new congressional task force that's aimed at, quote, exposing federal secrets, unquote. She said this week that she believes that two shooters were involved in the JFK assassination. That's an elected official going on the record with that, James. So given what you've researched, is it fair for people to not believe the official narrative that JFK was killed by a lone gunman?
Yeah, I mean, if you've listened to some of my interviews with you, you'll know that I do think that there probably were multiple shooters, given Paul Landis's revelation that he found what everybody calls this magic bullet or the single bullet behind where Kennedy was sitting. So I think there's no other explanation for that than that there were multiple shooters, and we could get into that. But the point is, it always has been a difficult sell to say that there was a single bullet that went through and caused 7 injuries to JFK and to Governor Connally and came out pristine. It's always been a difficult sell. Very few people believe it. But let me just say this. When you're working in this area, there are so many people who believe in conspiracies and crazy and wild stuff without any proof at all that people have to be very careful and not speculate. So for her to say she thinks there's two shooters, that's speculation at this point that needs to be backed up with more than just, I feel that way about it, because a lot of people feel that, you know, there was a conspiracy and, you know, different people were behind it. But this is an area where we have to be very careful. We have to be very fact-oriented, fact-based. And there are a lot of people, good people out there writing about this. I've told you about the Mary Farrell Foundation and Jefferson Morley and JFK Facts. These people are very careful about what they say, and they don't get out beyond their skis. You got to be careful about that.
So if, and again, a big if here, we haven't learned anything concrete yet, but let's say that, let's roll with the two-shooter hypothesis. Where does that put Lee Harvey Oswald?
You know, it is a fascinating question. I showed you there's a new book out that's called The Oswald Puzzle. It just literally came out this year about who is he? And was he really involved in this? Was he set up? Was he a patsy? There's evidence to support all of that, that he may not even been the one who pulled the trigger. But he likely was involved in this. He likely was a shooter, but there likely were other people who were involved who also probably were shooters. But again, we have to see more proof about all this. But what is true is that Lee Harvey Oswald was 24 years old. He had been followed before the assassination by the CIA, we now know, by six different operations having eyes on him and paying attention to him, including his trip to Mexico City 6 weeks before the assassination. So there's a lot more to put together on this story about what happened than we know about. And hopefully with taking a lot of these redactions off, we'll start to put more of that puzzle together.
So James, this is, 1963, it's when the assassination happened. Why does the Trump administration put this in such high regards? Why do they think this is an important issue for the new age?
Yeah, I asked Jefferson Morley that question about why the MAGA group is very interested in this. And of course, you'll see that the Congresswoman's committee is also dealing with Epstein and with other things that I don't think belong in the same category as the JFK assassination or the RFK or MLK assassinations. I think that the group feels strongly about it. The MAGA group feels strongly about it because they are very suspicious of what they call the deep state. You have people like Kash Patel writing about it, and they see this as like the ultimate story of a deep state secret that we don't know about, and we need the transparency. So I think it's more of a broad range. We don't trust the government. We want transparency, and we want somebody to go in there and just say, all right, let the sun shine in. Let's see what this is all about. And I think it resonated with them. It obviously was important also in getting Bobby Kennedy on board for Trump to make this commitment to release all these papers.
Do we have any clarity on when we'll actually see them?
We have clarity on a couple things. One is, we know that the plan for JFK was due within 14 days at the White House, and they reached that goal. We haven't seen that plan yet, though. So first thing we got to see is the plan. What are they saying they're going to do? And really, that should become transparent very quickly. It shouldn't sit around, or this thing is going to start to look like same old, same old. We know that the MLK and RFK document plan is supposed to come out in early March. That's 45 days later after the executive order. And then in terms of the documents themselves, of these 2,400 documents that the FBI just turned over, one Trump insider is quoted as saying to Axios that you may just see these documents show up online. They're kind of fed up with, you know, these agencies blocking, you know, the release of these records. So they were saying you may just see them come out. I don't think that's going to happen, but it could happen. And it may be that we reach that point where the administration just starts releasing documents and says enough of the blocking at this point.
These FBI records, of course, should have been released in the 1990s. But the FBI's action, while belated, sets an important precedent. It demonstrates that any federal agency possessing assassination-related material today is obliged by the JFK Records Act and Trump's order to turn them over to the National Archives. This precedent now applies to the CIA, the Secret Service, and the Department of Defense. Then came the welcome news that you heard earlier, that Representative Ana Paulina Luna will head a House task force to investigate, quote, federal secrets, including the assassinations of JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King Jr. In her opening remarks, Representative Luna, a Florida Republican and U.S. Air Force veteran, indicated that the committee will focus first on the JFK files, rejecting the government's lone gunman theory. She spoke of two shooters, a view consistent with the conclusions of the Dallas doctors who tried to save JFK's life. She referred knowledgeably to several controversies related to JFK's murder and indicated the committee may subpoena witnesses. The committee's first hearing will be held on March 1, 2025, Luna said. How the committee's investigation fits with the administration's plans to implement Trump's order is still unclear. What is known for certain are the existence of many JFK assassination records covered by Trump's order that can be made public quickly without waiting for congressional hearings or CIA approval. These records are known to exist, known to be in possession of the government, and can be retrieved easily, and they have never been seen in their entirety by the public, which is a violation of the JFK Records Act. Here are 10 documents that will help fill out the historical record and may tell us what really happened on one of the darkest days in American history, November 22, 1963. Is there a smoking gun in these documents? Is there a single piece of paper that will change people's minds about this ancient event? The answer is, it's definitely possible. The first three documents on the list have the potential to blow the lid off the CIA surveillance and manipulation of accused assassin Lee Harvey Oswald and JFK's differences with the CIA. The others are less dramatic but still significant. They are more like missing pieces of a jigsaw puzzle that help complete the larger picture of events leading to Kennedy's violent death. One document I hope we get to see is the George Joannidis file. What is it? It's the denied and full personnel file of a Miami-based undercover officer involved in the surveillance of Lee Harvey Oswald in 1963. So where is this file located? The file is located in the CIA Freedom of Information Act office. So what question could this file answer? Did the CIA launch an authorized operation targeting Oswald in January 1963? Document number 2, the James Angleton testimony. What is it? It's a heavily redacted 113-page transcript of an interview of the counterintelligence chief who monitored Oswald's private life and political activities for 4 years before JFK was killed. Where is this file located? In the National Archives. What question could this file answer? Did James Angleton use foreign agents to surveil Oswald? Another document that is located in the National Archives is a CIA Ops project. It's a heavily redacted 77-page summary of the CIA surveillance operations that later monitored Oswald during his visit to Mexico City shortly before the assassination. This document could answer how the CIA surveilled Oswald 6 weeks before JFK was killed. Another document located in the National Archives is the paramilitary name and phone list. So what is it? It's a redacted roster of top secret CIA paramilitary agents operating in New Orleans area in the summer of 1963. Guess who was also in New Orleans in the summer of 63? You guessed it, Lee Harvey Oswald. So what could this document tell us? It could tell us what CIA officers and Cuban group surrogates were in contact with, aware of, and reporting on Oswald while he was in New Orleans in the summer of 63. Another huge document that I hope we get to see is the Miami JFK investigation. There are reports submitted by CIA case officers in South Florida who were ordered to question their anti-Castro sources about possible Cuban involvement in JFK's murder. I really question whether we will get to see these, because this document is in the hands of the CIA, and it could answer what the CIA internal investigation found out about JFK's assassination. Document number 6 that I hope we get to see is Bill Harvey's travel records. Bill Harvey was the CIA assassination chief. These records are located in the CIA FOIA office. So what could this document tell us? Did Kennedy Hader Harvey pay a visit to Dallas in 1963, as recounted by a senior State Department official? And one of the documents that I'll be most interested to see is the CIA file on Herminio Diaz Garcia. This is the personality file of the known Cuban assassin. It's located in CIA headquarters. So what could this document tell us? It could tell us what the CIA knew about Garcia, whose friends believe he had been a gunman in Dallas. And actually, I believe the same thing. Another very important piece of evidence that I hope we get to see is the original Orville Nix film. What is it? It's a missing original home movie of the assassination, taken by bystander Orville Nix. Where is this located? We think it's in the National Archives, but not sure. What we would like answered is what happened to the original film that the government took and never returned to Mr. Nix. Another piece of evidence I hope we get to see is the Carlos Marcelo file and surveillance tapes. What is it? It's sealed surveillance recordings of Carlos Marcelo and an FBI file on the New Orleans crime boss that was not shown to the House Select Committee on Assassinations or the Assassinations Record Review Board. Supposedly, these are in the hands of the FBI. It could answer the question what the FBI learned about Carlos Marcelo's possible involvement in JFK's assassination. And last but certainly not least are the interviews by Jackie Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. So what are these documents? They are 5 very personal letters of Mrs. Kennedy to President Lyndon Johnson in 1963. 4 transcripts of interviews conducted by author William Manchester in May 1964, and 2 transcripts of interviews with Robert Kennedy in May 1964 and January 1965. These are supposedly held in lock and key at the Wesleyan University Library. So what question could this answer? The First Lady Jackie Kennedy says she did not believe the official story of the lone gunman. And also, what did she tell LBJ? The documents on this list can serve as a benchmark of success. They can also contribute to the factual foundation of Representative Luna's investigation.
Meanwhile, back here at home, President Trump's executive order to declassify JFK, RFK, MLK Jr.'s assassination files is making waves. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer has appointed Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna to lead a new task force focused on the declassification of these files, along with Jeffrey Epstein's client list, files related to 9/11, the origins of COVID-19, unidentified foreign objects, and federal secrets. Here with the latest, House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer, along with Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna. Anna, start with you. It sounds like you want everything.
Look, we do. I think that we're in the business of providing transparency to the American people. And Sean, for too long, the American people have doubted government. Rightfully so, they held back lots of information that the American people were entitled to. And I'm just thankful for President Trump being in office. Now, I just want to put this out there. If we find that the president's executive order is stonewalled, I do not put it past Chairman Comer or Speaker Johnson to hold those people in inherent contempt. And so do not push back against what the president wants. Declassify this. The American people deserve this, and we will be following through on this.
Yeah, I appreciate Congressman Comer. Why have they hidden this information from the American people? All of it goes back to the 1960s in three cases.
I think it's a sign of arrogance. Look, it's a sign of government elite thinking that the average person doesn't need to know, that they can't handle the truth, or that they don't need to know the truth. This is their territory. This is the deep state. The deep state's been around a long time. It's just been empowered in the last 4 years under Joe Biden. And what Donald Trump campaigned on was restoring confidence in the government. Right now, the average working taxpaying American doesn't have a lot of confidence in the federal government. And Donald Trump's trying to change that. He's trying to eliminate wasteful spending and be transparent with the American people. And that's what our goal is with the task force. And Congresswoman Luna is the perfect person to lead this task force. She's persistent. She's all about transparency. And I think this is going to be one of the most interesting things Congress does, because everyone wants to know these secrets that have been held in our government. Yeah.
Congresswoman, how long till this will be released? We have to roll.
We have a couple of days, but it will be all available to the American people, and our first hearing will be noticed publicly in March.
If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon, or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. In honor of the release of the JFK assassination records, I'm sending out signed copies of my book. If you would like one of these, please email me at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. The price is $40 for the soft cover and $60 for the hardcover, plus shipping and handling. I can promise you won't be disappointed in the book. It's an oversized coffee table style book. The book is over 500 pages with almost 1,000 pictures. You won't be disappointed. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.